This evening we reflect on all three readings, but I start out with the last verse of the John reading, John chapter 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can see why Joel 2 is this traditional reading for Ash Wednesday. Speaks specifically of repenting of sin and returning to God. Repentance, I have said many times, is means to turn, in the Greek metanoia, to turn. And so when John the Baptist and Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," they were really saying there in the Greek, turn, turn. And you notice that in Joel, he uses the word return. Which means what? They were already there with God, but he's saying return to God. The people that Joel is speaking to are God's people, who he has called, and now through many generations after Moses, after the kings, more towards the end of that first kingdom, that last kingdom. Return to God. They are his, and they need to stay and remain with him. This is not just a superficial return or a superficial turning to repent. But Joel says, rend your heart, not just your garment. It's an inward turning. Do you remember what the high priest did when he believed, when Jesus was on trial, he believed that Jesus had blasphemed by saying and agreeing that he was the Christ? The high priest tore his robes, which they did when they heard blasphemy. Well, that was an outward action. That's what Joel is returning. I've heard something bad or something's terrible. I'm ripping my robes, my clothes. Of course, Jesus wasn't blaspheming. But Joel is saying it's not just that action, but it's this internal action. And when we grieve over our sins as Christians, the Holy Spirit makes that clear to us, things in our lives. It hurts. We feel that rending. It is a literal thing that's happening in our minds and hearts. We also have outward actions too. On Ash Wednesday, we often do the ashes on the forehead. We turn and we can return because we have confidence in whom we're turning to. Joel says he is gracious. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. Our Lord in the Old Testament, our Lord in the New Testament is of the same character. He wants to forgive. He wants to keep his people safe. He doesn't want his people wandering. And Joel says he's slow to anger. Yes, there is a righteous anger, but he wants you to return. He doesn't want to be angry at your sin. He wants you to return. And he abounds in the steadfast love. That steadfast love is that idea that is a foundation. It is sturdy, it is firm, it is reliable. We Christians, we can give our cards and flowers and chocolates on Valentine's Day, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But we know that even sometimes our own deep human love can be fickle, and we can be angry or irresponsible or uncaring, even to the very one we sent a card or flowers or chocolate. That can happen. Not so God. His love is steadfast, is firm, and we can trust in it. And thus, we can turn to him, we can return to him because he's there steadfast. We say and confess that I believe Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is Lord. When Paul writes this in Corinth to the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, it was a dangerous thing to say Jesus is Lord. For the saying really in their culture, at their time, in their society, is you would say Caesar is Lord. It was a dedication, it was a show of allegiance to the leader of the Roman Empire. And to say Jesus is Lord is to say I belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back then, and so also today, without faith, it's easy for unbelievers to say, oh, who is this Jesus? And we can hear his name just be bandied about here and there, and even sometimes cursed or made fun of. And Paul says, a Christian can't do that. So if a Christian is Jesus is my Lord, then that name is precious. But it's the Holy Spirit that enables that in us. So we see when anyone really understands that Jesus is our Lord, they turn to Jesus, they trust in Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit working. And really, you see the Holy Spirit working in both the two ways, the law and the gospel. When we feel our hearts rent because we are sorry for our sin, that's the Holy Spirit working in us. When we see the Holy Spirit working in us to say Jesus is Lord and we have that confidence, that's the Holy Spirit working in us. So what does it mean when we say Jesus is my Lord? That's what we're going to be thinking about these Wednesdays and Holy Week this year. You can read the back page of the bulletin on your own, but which is, the larger part is a quote from the Large Catechism written from Martin Luther. But I read just towards the very bottom of that longer quote, in little paragraph 32, towards the end of this little section, he writes about the second article of the Apostles' Creed. He says, but the proper place to explain all these different points is not the brief children's sermons, but rather the longer sermons throughout the year, especially at the times appointed for dealing at length with such articles as the birth, passion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. He meant Lent services. And that's what we will be doing. We will be thinking about what it means that Jesus is my Lord. And just to conclude, a few brief things from John 6. Jesus said himself, he said, he is the bread, what? For life. When we say Jesus is Lord, we mean that our life depends upon him. He directs us. We go to him. He nourishes us. He is our foundation. What we really need is Jesus. Another thing he says there in those teachings is that anyone that comes to him, he will not cast out. And that is so important for us to remember. For Jesus has this kind heart, this desire to save. And so he does not want to hold back anybody. He wants them to come, and he will not cast them out. He knows our inner situation. He knows our history. He knows our future. And he wants to take care of us. And he guarantees us. He will not cast us out. Because we see we're in need. If we aren't in need, if we think, well, I'm pretty good, and maybe Jesus can help me somewhat too. That's not right. But no, I need Jesus. I'm not good enough on my own. I'm not strong enough on my own. If I just look at myself, how do I think I'm going to get to heaven? How do I think God can help me if you just look at me? But in Christ, when we see his need, we see our need and it's fulfilled in him, he never casts us out. And one of the main reasons I chose that brief reading from John 6 for the gospel reading is at verse 40. When Jesus says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The will of God is for us to look on Christ, to know him, to hear him, to believe in him, and to have life. And that is what we are doing in our meditations, to know more about Christ, to look on him, and to receive life from him. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Continue to build up our faith in him, our trust in him, that he is our Lord. And through him, you are our Father, and our faith is sustained by the Holy Spirit. Grant us peace and rest, and bless our families. In the name of Jesus, amen.